From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, Governor Cuomo continues to say that he'll propose major reforms in the new year. Our political observer Alan Shartok shares his thoughts on a federal investigation that finds 83% of New York City schools in violation of the American with Disabilities Act. And we introduce you to an Albany organization trying to help migrants find a foothold in their new community. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. Governor Andrew Cuomo says that he will propose major reforms in the new year in the wake of the conviction of the two top legislative leaders on multiple corruption charges. But the governor, in a radio interview this week, says there's only so far that he can go to rein in campaign donations. We get more from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
Governor Cuomo says he wants to include major reforms in his State of the State agenda after federal juries lost no time finding former Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver and former Senate Leader Dean Skelos and his son guilty on multiple corruption charges late this year. But the governor, speaking on WNYC's The Brian Lehrer Show, says there's only so far that he can go in reforming the state's flawed campaign donation laws. And he blames the U.S. Supreme Court ruling in the case of Citizens United, which allows unlimited independent expenditures, as the reason.
You're not going to get the money out of the system until the federal government changes the court or the law or both. So the money is coming in, well, small donations. It's going to be big money and big donations because the federal law guarantees that with this Citizens United case that has institutionalized big anonymous money. You're seeing it all over the presidential.
The reform group Common Cause disagrees with Cuomo's assessment and says there are steps that can be taken, including requiring full transparency for independent expenditure committees and mandating that contributors have to list their occupation and their employer. But Cuomo says he will call for closure of a loophole in campaign finance laws. It allows donors to skirt the $5,000 limit for businesses by disguising the donations through multiple limited liability corporations. He spoke about that earlier in December, though he offered no details.
Part of it, I think, is going to be campaign finance, like the LLC loophole.
LLC donations from a real estate company known as Glenwood Management played a role in both corruption trials against the former legislative leaders. Glenwood officials, who were witnesses for the prosecution, testified that they felt coerced to give the money in exchange for favorable treatment in legislation. Governor Cuomo has also received money from Glenwood and its related LLCs. Recently, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio gave back a donation from Glenwood. Cuomo indicated, though, that he does not plan to give his donations back, and he says he's not influenced by campaign donors. The governor on the Brian Lehrer Show said anybody who is swayed by the money should give up politics.
If I believed that I could be influenced by $1 million or $1,000 or $50, then I'm in the wrong place and I should resign immediately, you know.
The New York Public Interest Research Group's Blair Horner says a law is not actually required for closing the LLC loophole. He says the State Board of Elections, which allowed the LLCs to be exempt from contribution limits back in the 1990s, could simply vote to rescind that rule.
There's nothing in the law that says that this is the way it's supposed to be. This is just a tortured interpretation of the law by the State Board of Elections, which allows certain companies to be treated more favorably than other companies for the purposes of the campaign finance system.
Horner says another area that needs reform is the ability of lawmakers to earn unlimited outside income. The issue of outside jobs factored heavily in the corruption cases. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Well, here's a holiday story, Alan.
Oh, good.
This is from the Times Union. If there's no Merry Christmas in Bethlehem, then there's no Happy Hanukkah either. Officials in the Albany suburb have refused to post a Merry Christmas sign this year at the Four Corners and took down a Happy Hanukkah sign last week, saying the town did not want to violate the law. The Alliance Defending Freedom sent the town a letter advising officials that it's legal to post a Merry Christmas sign.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I understand the issue of choosing one religion over the other, and if you're not going to have Christmas, then you're not going to have Hanukkah. But the fact of the matter is that these have become almost generic concepts, and to take down Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah is just crazy. And while there will be people and civil libertarians of the first stripe who say there should never be any mention of any religion in public places, I find it hard. I just find it a difficult concept. Intellectually, one can understand it, but emotionally, it's a whole different story.
Peace and happiness to all.
Yes, and of course, it's happening in Bethlehem. It's a small little town.
Little town.
Yeah.
Well, let's move up to the state level. New York State. Our Karen DeWitt reporting, Alan, that Governor Cuomo, who was speaking on WNYC's Brian Lehrer show, said there's only so far he can go in reforming the state's flawed campaign donation laws. And he blames the U.S. Supreme Court ruling in the case of Citizens United allowing unlimited independent expenditures as the reason. He says you're going to push for doing away with the LLC loophole, quote, LLC loophole. He also warns lawmakers they're up for re-election next year and they could incur the wrath of the voters.
Well, they're not the only ones. Let's be fair about this. Andrew Cuomo is a guy who we've often said, watch what he does, not what he says. And what he says is, get rid of the LLC loophole, but he takes the LLC loophole money, or has in the past anyway. So while he may be a little slow taking it right now, he's been the big beneficiary in the past of it. And when asked about it, he has always said, well, let's see what happens with the trials. He's talking about Skelos and he's talking about Speaker Silver. So we know what happened in the trial. Both those guys were convicted. So what's the deal? I think he's right to say he'll send a message to the legislature. We've seen him do that before. And then he pulls back. So does he mean it? I don't know.
As expected, state gaming regulators in New York issued 3 casino licenses yesterday, almost a full year after the sites were chosen. Since then, developers have been investigated on their finances and backgrounds. The Gaming Commission members approved the casinos in Seneca and Sullivan counties, as well as the Rivers Casino in Schenectady.
Well, look, David, you and I have talked about this a lot. We do know that Atlantic City casinos, brand new casinos, are failing. There comes a quantum physics equation that says not enough money to go around equals failure of casinos. And so while downtown Schenectady always can use all the booths, it has the wonderful Proctor's Theater and everything else to attract people. It is a difficult destination for a lot of people to get to, but let's just hope that there aren't people who end up becoming dependent on gambling or who lose everything as a result of it. And let's just hope that they have more success than some of these other places, which are already seeing precipitous declines in revenue and people because there aren't enough people to go around who are gamblers.
To Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney is for the Southern District of New York, and his corruption prosecutions that you just referenced, Silver and Skelos. Now he's out. The 2-year federal investigation, Alan, that has concluded that 83% of New York City's public elementary schools are not fully accessible to children with disabilities in violation of the American with Disabilities Act.
Well, the reason we have that act is because many of the kids who need this help getting into schools, getting out of schools, wheelchair accessible, and any other way need the help. There are a lot of people who say, because it's too expensive. There aren't that many of them, and we got to do that. Yeah, until you're it, or until your kid is it. And then that's a whole other story. This law was passed for a reason. Bharara is going to call attention to it, and maybe there'll be some justice for some poor kid who just can't get the same kind of education everybody else can.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand recently announced the passage of the Microbead-Free Waters Act of 2015, a bill that would ban the manufacture, sale, or distribution in interstate commerce of personal care products that contain plastic microbeads. As the Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas reports, the sloop Clearwater is also getting involved in the battle against microbeads.
The bill will now go to the president's desk to be signed into law. But the damage has already been done. Research conducted at SUNY Fredonia in 2012 and 2013 shows up to 1.1 million plastic particles per square kilometer in Lake Ontario. High concentrations were found throughout the Great Lakes. Microbeads, those tiny plastic pellets that come by the tens of thousands in bottles of face wash, toothpaste, and other products, have compounded the pollution problem. Gillibrand has been one of the staunchest opponents of microplastics.
These plastic particles track pollutants like PCBs already in the environment and concentrate them to very dangerous levels. Fish and birds eat them, and they ingest all of the pollutants stuck onto the microbead. This disrupts the food chain. It contaminates huge portions of the wildlife population. The evidence is clear. If left unstopped, microbeads have the potential to cause significant ecological damage across our state.
Sloop Clearwater joins the battle against the beads thanks to a grant that will launch a microplastics pollution prevention project in the spring of 2016. Dave Conover, education director for the Hudson Sloop Clearwater, says a $10,000 grant from the Malcolm Gordon Charitable Fund will help in education and sampling of the Hudson River to look for signs of microplastic pollution, which poses severe risks to ecosystems. The program will combine field, in-class, and onboard opportunities for students to study and learn ways to prevent that pollution.
These are pieces of plastic that are generally smaller than 5 millimeters. Some of them come from microbeads that are included in personal care products like facial scrubs and even some toothpaste. Others may come from clothing, fibers from clothing that can wash into the waterways. And it also come from plastic trash that breaks down into smaller and smaller particles. And these particles can get into the waterways and impact the Hudson River life, like plankton and fish.
Environmentalists are worried the beads will take their toll on the state's fish populations, hurting the commercial and recreational fishing industries, tourism industry, and the general economic well-being of New York's coastal communities. A report issued in April by the New York Attorney General's office found that microbeads were present in 74% of water samples taken from 34 municipal and private treatment plants across the state. It estimated that up to 19 tons of plastic microbeads have entered New York State's waters. During the sailing season, Clearwater serves the Hudson River with unique education sales and in-class workshops for school groups from Manhattan to Albany. Clearwater, founded by Pete Seeger, has been serving the Hudson River with unique environmental education programs since 1969. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. The world continues to debate how to handle the growing international refugee crisis. When refugees do arrive, they are left to tackle the challenges associated with setting up a new life in the United States. They often need help learning English, seeking out government services, or finding a job. One organization operating out of Albany is doing the important work behind the scenes to help migrants find a foothold in their new community. The Legislative Gazette's Lucas Willard reports on a refugee who is dedicated to helping others.
My name is Francis Sengabo.
Francis Sengabo was born and grew up in Rwanda. After graduating from high school, he studied economics at the University of Rwanda and ended up working for the International Red Cross, distributing food and supplies to those affected by internal conflicts in the early 90s.
And in 1994, after the airplane for president was shot down, and so the genocide started right away. That's why I flew from Rwanda to Tanzania, in northwest of Tanzania.
Francis landed in a refugee camp in Tanzania with 400,000 other people. He said in the beginning, there was chaos. Only those who were strong enough could get food to survive.
In the beginning, you know, I remember in refugee camp in Tanzania, many people died because of not having any, especially those who are vulnerable, the old people, kids, and I can say the first 3 months, it's horrible, horrible situation.
But after that, he says things started to turn around.
If you see the beginning of a refugee camp, when it's new, and the end, you can see that there's improvement.
Eventually, food and supplies were distributed. Infrastructure got established. Supported by UNICEF, Francis and others helped establish a school for the idle children. He became principal of a middle school. Between 1994 and 2007, Francis lived in 3 refugee camps. He lived among people from Rwanda, Burundi, Congo, Uganda, and Sudan. He married his wife, who was Congolese, in a refugee camp. They had 2 children in a camp. He and his family began their immigration process when they were interviewed by the United Nations High Commission for Refugees in 2006. Francis and his wife, 2 children, and 2 brothers arrived in Albany in 2007. The city is home to a field office for the U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigrants, USCRI, which helps the government relocate migrants. When he arrived in Albany, it was the first time Francis had seen snow.
It was in March. It was very, very cold. It was my first time to feel cold like that. And the first question I asked USCRI agent who came to get me from airport to my house, I said, you know, tomorrow we need to move to another state where it's not cold. He said, you know, you will set up. Don't worry. You know, it will be okay.
A week later, Francis, who did not speak English at the time, tried taking a bus uptown. Without knowing how to pay for a bus ride, he tried giving the driver a $10 bill. But the driver couldn't take it. He was given a ride anyway.
And of course, I went the bus for free. I found out that was my first signal that, you know, America, the community like to help.
That spring, Francis met then-pastor of the Emmaus United Methodist Church in Albany, Reverend Denise Stringer. In French, he asked the pastor to help him learn English. They did so using the Bible. And in September of that year, Francis helped the church establish RISE, Refugees and Immigrant Support Services of Emmaus, to help refugees find housing, jobs, and public assistance. Today, RISE serves approximately 125 families each year. Francis, whose title is Operations Director, helps immigrants read their mail, fill out paperwork, pay bills. RISE provides transportation and teaches English to kids and adults.
What are we reading right now? We're reading the Hudson River. Okay. Why does this say Hudson River? We have H.
RISE provides services at Albany St. Vincent de Paul Parish and at Emmaus United Methodist Church. Down the hall from the English classes, Francis is working with Muthana Al-Khajrai.
I like the job. I like to work with Francis. Francis is a good boss.
Al-Khajrai worked as a nuclear engineer before he fled Iraq for a refugee camp in Egypt, where he remained for 6 years until 2012. Today, he lives in Albany and works as a driver for RISE. After the program helped him get established in the U.S.
Do you have pay stub?
He and Francis today are helping another Iraqi refugee who does not speak English with an application for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, food stamps.
I don't know if I can bring him white out.
Francis says he relies on volunteers to interpret, and often kids in RISE's after-school program will help interpret for their parents. In addition to English and his native Rwandan, Francis speaks French and Swahili. He says he'd like to see government documents available in other languages.
Because I have seen some refugees lose their benefit because of language issue. And but again, it's a good part that I have seen even the neighbors, they help them to fill out the forms, you know, and they're eager to learn.
There are some rules RISE follows when working with refugees. Sexuality, religion, and politics are avoided. Only talk about somebody's situation if they want to share it. Francis says some are hesitant to mention their home country. Francis says when he first arrived, he didn't want to tell anyone when he needed food, including the church pastor.
And she said, you know, do you have food? I say yes. And the next day she comes and said, do you have food? I say yes. She decided to go to open the fridge. The fridge was empty. So because we don't like it, you know, in my culture, if I come in your house, you don't ask, do you need food? Because automatically we say no. But if you offer me food, I will eat. So, you know, there's a lot of changes in no culturally.
It's also important to share a little humor.
During the summer, they have a celebration in Washington Park. And one day, I read hot dog. You know, I asked, you know, politely that, you know, my neighbor, if, you know, is he here people eat dog? No, so it's a name only. It's a regular food, you know. But until now, you know, I tell people how I did. I remember that, you know, when I saw hot dog, I thought that it's a really dog. That's one.
With the current immigration crisis facing Europe and the Middle East, amid so much political attention focused on immigration, the full extent of how the refugee crisis will affect the U.S. remains to be seen. Francis says every human being in this world needs to help others.
This situation in Syria, in Rwanda, in Iraq, can happen to any country. Can happen to any country.
RISE serves families from more than 25 countries, and Francis says as the program grows, he feels the need to help out more and more, because, as he says, they will always have a new client.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Lucas Willard.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1552. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.